الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله رب العالمين، أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم، من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: يا فاطمة، كل عين باكية يوم القيامة إلا عين بكت على مصاب الحسين، فإنها ضاحكة مستبشرة بنعيم الجنة. Recite one salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Tonight is the seventh night of the month of Muharram. And as the nights are progressing, so is the sorrow deepening. And as many reports have reported in the books of history and in the Maqatil of Karbala, that from the seventh night onwards there was no drinking water in the tents of Hussein ibn Ali. We discussed yesterday about faith and Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, the way he inherited this faith from the prophets and from his predecessors. We saw that he inherited the staunch, steadfast faith from not only his grandfather but even the prophets who came before him. The four pillars that we discussed yesterday about the tawakkul and the trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the entrustment of one's affairs in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting oneself in the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that all these four things were found in Hussein ibn Ali. For the trust that he had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thus he took his whole family from Medina to Makkah and onwards to the fields of Karbala. He entrusted his entire affairs in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he accepted the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus you will find on the day of Ashura, when you do the amals, there is a particular amal that you do. You go seven steps forward and you come seven steps behind, saying, رِضًا بِقَضَائِهِ وَتَسْلِيمًا لِأَمْرِهِ. that I accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the type of faith that we need to inculcate in our hearts as well. This is the type of iman that we need to inculcate in our hearts as well. Thus we depend on none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fear none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we have been discussing, that lack of faith can create many negative traits. It can create many negative akhlaq in a person. One of them being riya, or what you call show off. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالًا يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And when they stand for prayers, or when they do any worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do it sluggishly. They do it weakly. They do it sluggishly. يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ, but they show it to the people that they are doing it. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they do not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but sometimes. A person was once praying in the mosque, and he used to go alone to pray in the mosque. In the morning he was in the mihrab praying in salat, and suddenly he heard some sounds from the back. So he became even more attentive in his salat. He became even more khudu' and khushu', he created more humbleness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the voice that he heard from the back. When he finished his prayer, he turned to see whether was it a BBC reporter or a CNN reporter or a Sky reporter. But unfortunately, there was a dog. He says and he writes, this made me open my eyes. Did I pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or did I pray for something that had got no tongue, who could not go and say anything to the people that, I saw this man was praying in the mosque. And as we all know, that showing off is one of the traits which is born due to lack of faith. When the faith of someone is strong, then such negative traits cannot be found in any mu'min. Especially the lovers of Ahlul Bayt Salamullahi Alayhi Majmu. This is not the topic that we need to discuss. What we are discussing is the Ziyarat Al-Warith. And we have been seeing how Imam Hussein has inherited all these traits from the Anbiya. No estates, no wealth, but bravery, courage, standing in front of the tyrant, and taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we say, As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam safwatillah. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Nuhin nabiyillah. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Ibrahim khalilillah. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Musa kalimillah. We heard the hadith yesterday of a ma'soom, inna al-Husayn misbahul huda wa safinatun najat. That Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam is the light of guidance and he is the ship of salvation. Today he is calling us on the ship. He is not calling us only, he is calling other people. Come and you will find salvation in the ship of Husayn ibn Ali. We find that this world is becoming unjust as days are going by. We find that tyrants are ruling the world now. We find that injustice is everywhere in this world. We find injustices happening in the houses as well of the mu'mineen. What we need to learn is to imitate, to stand steadfast in front of a tyrant from Husayn ibn Ali. And this he inherited from none other than Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa was Kalimullah. He was a prophet who spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a prophet who was in constant discussion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Just so that my little brothers understand this and my sisters, we will dwell a little bit on the story of Janabe Musa to just see what type of a person and prophet this man was. We find that during the time of Fir'aun, he declared himself to be the Lord. He said, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. I am your great Lord. And during that time, there were two tribes staying there. One, Sibtis, and the other were called Qibtis. The Sibtis were the descendants of the Prophet Yaqub, Yusuf, and all this. They were the descendants of the Prophet. And the Qibtis were the ones related to Fir'aun. These Qibtis accepted the Rububiyat and the Ilahiyat and the Lordship of Fir'aun. The Sibtis did not accept this. However, because of the tyranny that Fir'aun had, they could not do anything. They could just not do anything. Until one day, Fir'aun comes to know and finds out that one boy amongst the Sibtis will come up, will grow and will remove you from the kingdom. He is going to destroy your kingdom. To that, he set up a network of terrorism. Fir'aun. And this terrorism comes from there, from the time of Fir'aun. He created this network of terrorism and he said, any child which is a male child born in this earth should be slaughtered and killed. Any male child born to any Sibti family should be killed. Killing of innocent children and innocent women is not the system of Islam. It is not. That is a system of terrorism. And terrorism doesn't come from Islam. It comes from injustices. It comes from zulm. It comes from oppression. Thus, the gods were given the orders. Any child born in a Sibti family, if he's a boy, kill him. Nothing, that's it. This is the order from Fir'aun, who is the lord of the Qibtis. They had to follow the command. But Fir'aun had forgotten that there is a Lord above him who had promised to bring down a prophet to destroy his kingdom. He forgot that. Thus, Janabe Musa's mother has Janabe Musa in her stomach. Yet the signs of pregnancy are not showing. And this is not something funny. This is not something that Allah cannot do. Allah has given birth to Janabe Musa without a Janabe Isa without a father. Allah can do anything He wishes with me and you. He owns us. He owns this entire universe. He owns our souls. Why can't He do this? And Janabe Musa is in the stomach of the mother. No person can see that Janabe Musa's mother is expecting. Until one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that the time is here. After 9 months, whatever the nature, Musa is born. When Janabe Musa is born, she's scared. Naturally, she is scared that what if these people see, they'll take the child and kill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a revelation on the mother of Musa. O mother of Musa, put her in a Moses' basket, what we call these days. In a box. Put him in a box and throw him on the sea. And just leave him, let him go in the Nile. The faith of the mother of Musa was such in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even a newborn baby, she had to do, she did. What she had to do because of the faith that she had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She put the child on the box, in the box, and she let the box go in the night. She told her sister, and Allah had promised the mother of Musa that I shall return your child to you. I shall return him to you. And my promise is the truth. As the box is going in the Nile, she sends his sister, Musa's sister. Just see where this box ends up. Just see where this box goes. As the box is traveling, so is Janabe Musa's sister going on from the Sahil, from the bank. And she goes and she sees that the box has reached the palace of Fir'aun. Subhanallah. This is the doing of none other but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The box reaches the palace of Fir'aun. Over there, Janabe Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, is relaxing with some other women friends of hers. and she sees this box and sound of crying coming out from the box. She sends one of her maids, she says, go and get this box, let's see what is in it. The box is brought to her. She looks at the child and she says, Subhanallah, I would want to keep this child as a son of mine. But she goes to Fir'aun. She says, Fir'aun, this is a boy I have found in the Nile. Let us keep it. Make him our son. Make him our son. Remember, Fir'aun had an agenda of killing all boys born to the Sibtis. Kill them. But this time he agreed. Allah put it in his head, in his heart. And he agreed. He said, fine Asiya, if you would want to keep him and grow him up, it's up to you. And he did. Asiya brought up Fir'aun, Moses, Musa in the place of Fir'aun, in the place of tyranny. Now, Janabi Musa was refusing to feed that time when he was brought to Asiya. But the sister who was there with Janabi Musa, she goes to this and says, do you want me to show you a household which may be able to help you? So they said, yes, because he's not feeding. Let us look now. What are you saying? Let us see what's happening. So they took him back to the mother of Musa. Just as a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I shall give him back to you, O mother of Musa. Just let him go. And thus, Musa was reunited with his mother. But he was brought up in the house of Fir'aun. One day, there was a fight between a Qibti and a Sibti. And when this fight took place, blood is thicker than blood, than water, they say, don't they? They say blood is thicker than water. So naturally, Janabi Musa did not like this. He went to the Qibti and said, don't do this. Why are you hitting him for no reason? You're oppressing him. He stood for injustice. He didn't listen. So Janabi Musa had a very strong thump. He was a very strong man. So he thumped him one, and that guy fell down and died. The Qibti died. Now when the Qibti died, the other Qibti saw this and they went and reported that Musa has killed one of us. He has killed one of our brothers. One of his well-wisher came to Musa and said, Musa, I advise you run away from here. Because if Fir'aun comes to find out about this, he will come behind you. So I advise you, run away from this place. And Musa left. Janabi Musa left the place. He went to Madain, where he went and met Janabi Shu'aib, and he got married to one of his daughters there. Now, the thing is, when he was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when he said, he took his family and he said, I want to go and move somewhere here and there. And then he went to this Mount Sinai one day. Over there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to Musa. And this story, you can read it even in the books of the Christians, that this has happened. And Allah said, Ya Musa, fakhla'na alayk, remove your shoes, for you are now entering a very holy valley. And he goes there and he says, Ya Musa, idhab ila Fir'aun, innahu tagha. Now just look at the scenario here. Musa has been brought up in the family of Fir'aun. He has been brought up in the palace of Fir'aun. Allah is telling him to go there only and say, Fir'aun, free the Bani Israel. Leave them alone. Janabi Musa says, Ya Allah, I have got no problem. Of course, he's the Prophet of Allah. I have got no problem. I will go there. But give me a wazir, my brother Harun. This was the sunnah of Musa. Why is this world trembling when it comes to Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why does the world does not accept the Khilafat and the appointment of Amir al-Mu'mineen by the Prophet when they accept the Khilafat and the representation of Harun to Musa? Anyway, so, and he had a stammer in his tongue, Janabi Musa. So he says, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Ya Allah, if you want me to do this, there is no problem. But expand my chest. He prays to Allah. He says, expand my chest, make my matter easy, and remove the stammering from my tongue so that people should understand what I'm saying. Allah said, it'll happen. And take this stick, and your hands are now bright. Go to Fir'aun and say, don't do oppression. We need justice in this world. He took his brother Harun and he goes to the palace of Musa. First of all, in ragged clothes, even the soldiers are not allowing him to go to the palace where he once lived as a prince. Finally, he goes into the place. He looks at Fir'aun and he says, "Ya Fir'aun, you have spread oppression and injustice on this earth. Free the Bani Israel. Free the Sibtis. Free them alone. For they have been building your pyramids for years and years and they have been dying for no reason. Free them." Fir'aun looked at Musa and he recognized him and he said, "Musa, are you Musa? Alam nurabbika fina sinina? Haven't we brought up here? We brought you up here in this house?" Musa said, "Whatever you have done for me, you have done for me. This is not my concern. My Allah has told me to come up to you and say, no to injustice, no to oppression, no to tyranny. Leave the Sibtis." And then we all know, and it'll be lengthy if I keep on continuing, but then Fir'aun got very, very upset. And he said, "We need to solve this matter and we need to kill this person." The thing is that Janabe Musa stood up against injustice. He stood up against tyranny. What did Hussein ibn Ali do in the plains of Karbala? What did Hussein ibn Ali do in the plains of Karbala? The only thing he did was stand against tyranny. And this is what he's telling us to do as well. Whenever we find injustices in the community or in the household of an individual, we should stand for it. When we see that the terrorism is increasing in this world, when we see that the powerful people of this world are killing innocent children and innocent babies and innocent women, we should make our voices heard. We should say, no, Hussein ibn Ali has taught us to stand against tyranny. And a recent revolution, which is not far, even children will remember this, is the revolution of Imam Khomeini in Iran. He said it is because of the Azadari, Imam Khomeini. He said it is because of the Azadari and the word and the teachings of Hussein ibn Ali that today we have given our sacrifices and Iran is out of the clutches of tyranny today. It is because of this. Our majalises, our gathering here and our sitting here and crying for Hussein is not in vain. The Pharaonic ideologies and the people who follow the Pharaonic ideas will tell you, do not cry on Hussein. Do not attend majalises. Do not sit and cry for Hussein. We'll say, no, these are Pharaonic ideologies. You want us not to cry on Hussein, you to continue doing your oppression in this world. And oppression has got many, many dimensions. Injustices has got many dimensions. Injustice doesn't mean that if you kill, you are unjust. It doesn't mean that. A husband and a wife can commit injustices between each other. A wife can be a victim of injustice behavior by the husband. A husband may be a victim of injustice behavior by the wife. A father may do some injustices to the son. A son may do some injustices to the father. Community members, brothers amongst each other, they can do dhulm on each other. In fact, one can do dhulm on oneself as well. And this is what Imam Hussein has taught us not to take. He stood against injustice. He has told us to stand against injustice. And the way Janabe Musa did it, we ought to inherit this. We ought to take this. On the other hand, what do we find of the qawm of Janabe Musa? Janabe Musa, he comes to Fir'aun, he frees them from the clutches of the tyrant, and yet these people give him a hard time, don't they? And we all know about the stories of the Bani Israel, how thick they were here. That even after seeing at the miracles that Janabe Musa was performing, they were still not convinced. They were still just not there. We do not want to be that type of a nation. We do not want to be those type of followers of Musa. We want to inherit from Hussein ibn Ali. We want to stick with Hussein ibn Ali, and we want to stick with him with our love in our heart. Not just the way the Bani Israel did with Musa, because that in itself is an injustice. That in itself is zulm, and to stand against zulm today is required. It is a must to stand against zulm. When we see Muslim communities worldwide being targeted, being called names, being called terrorists, being called this, being called fundamentals, being whatever they are being called, we should stay and say, no, the deen of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salamullahi alayhim ajma'een, doesn't stand for injustice and oppression. It may be some other firaq of Islam, it may be some other followers of Muslims, it may be some other creed of Islam that is fighting and that is creating terrorism in this world. Not the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. Not the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. Imam Zainul Abideen was once sitting in recite one salawat. He was once sitting in the mosque in Medina, and then the murderer, the killer of Ali Akbar, was being chased by someone. They wanted to go and kill him. So he found this mosque and he entered and he went and sat next to Imam Zainul Abidin and said, "Ya Imam, help me." Imam was busy in his supplication. He looks at him. He recognizes that this man is the one who had killed Ali Akbar. The people come there. They find him. He's sitting next to the Imam. They say, "Imam, hand him over to us." Imam says, "Look, he has sought sanctuary from me. We are from the family who will give sanctuary, whatever the crime. Whatever their crime, Allah will sort him out. But as far as he is concerned, he has sought sanctuary from me. I will not show oppression. I will not hand him over to you." That was the akhlaq of Ahlul Bayt. And today the world is telling us that we instigate fights. We instigate terrorism. We go and tell the world that we have to kill the innocent people and children and women. Not the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. Not the people who cry on Hussein ibn Ali. Not the people who cry on the chadar of Zainab bint Ali. Not these people. They are not terrorists. Terrorists may be some other nations. There may be some other people believing in Muhammad and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, but they do not have the privilege of believing in Ali Muhammad salamullahi alayhi. Yet we see that in Karbala, Imam Hussein stood against this tyrant Yazid. He said, "Mithli la yubai'u mithlak." A person like me shall never pay allegiance to a person like you, O Yazid. You're terrorizing me with swords? With killing? I will even bring a six-month-old Ali Asghar with me. Don't terrorize me with these things, for we will not give in. We will stand against injustice. أشهد أنك أقمت الصلاة وآتيت الزكاة. الله أكبر. In the plains of Karbala, we bear witness and we recite this in our ziyarats. We bear witness that you stood and established prayer even in the state of war. And we all know the importance that Imam Hussein gave to namaz and salat. Those who don't pray are not only doing injustice to themselves, but they are doing injustices to in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are being unfair on not only them, but their families as well. This is what Hussein ibn Ali has taught us. And this is what we ought to learn from the majalis of Hussein ibn Ali. Not just to come here and sit and have tea and then go. No. But to take something from the teachings of Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhim. To take something from the teachings of the prophets. And to implement it in our lives, and to imitate them, and to follow the right path, and have the faith that Allah wants us to have. Look at the courageous boys in Karbala. Look at the courageous youth in Karbala. The children, Qasim, Ali Akbar, Aun, Muhammad, where did they find that courage? Where did they get that courage from? They got that from their faith. They got that by Imam Hussein telling them not to stand against tyranny and to fight injustice. we see that in the plains of Karbala, a mother is sitting in a tent, looking at her son. When Qasim saw that Auna Muhammad has already been given the permission of going, when Qasim saw that Auna Muhammad has already been given the permission of going to the battlefield, he looks at his mother and he says, Oh mother, can you please go to Hussein ibn Ali and secure a permission for me as well? Can you go and ask Hussein, my uncle, that I want to go to war as well? Qasim, the son of Hassan ibn Ali, the son of Imam Hassan alayhi salatu salam, the brother of Hussein. The mother says, son, I remember one thing. Your father gave me two envelopes, two letters, one for you and one for your uncle Hussein. And he said, when Qasim is surrounded in difficulties, hand these two envelopes to him. Let me bring it for you. She brought the two letters, the two envelopes. She gave it to Janabe Qasim. Janabe Qasim took the envelopes, so one was his and one was his uncle's. He opened that which was his. He read. It said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. O my son Qasim, this is a letter which you will get when I will not be around, when I will have died. But you will be surrounded in difficulties. You will be surrounded in problems. I want you to lay your life for Hussein, for Islam on my behalf. And take the letter that is named to Hussein, go and give it to him and tell him, my father is asking me to lay my life. Janabe Qasim takes this letter. He goes to Hussein and he says, uncle, here is a letter which is named, which is for you. Imam Hussein takes the letter, looks and recognizes the handwriting of Hassan ibn Ali. He says, this is a letter from my brother. He takes the letter, he reads. It's written, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. O Hussein, when the time comes when you are surrounded in difficulties and hardship, I want you to send Qasim on my behalf to help you. I want you to send Qasim to the battlefield if it may be, and go and tell him to lay the life for you. To this, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu salam looks at Qasim and says, Qasim, have you asked your mother that you want permission to go to the battlefield? Qasim looks at Hussein and says, yes, uncle, I have. In fact, she is the one who's told me to come to you with these letters. Imam Hussein says, Qasim, go back to your mother. Tell your mother that you need permission from her now. Qasim goes back to the mother. The mother says, yes, Qasim, I have allowed you. Umm Farwa says, yes, Qasim, I have allowed you. Go to the battlefield. Go and lay your life for Hussein ibn Ali. Go. He wears his armor. He takes his sword. He was a mere 14, 15-year-old youth. He takes his sword, he goes to Hussein ibn Ali and he says, Khuda Hafiz, he says, Fi amanillah, I am going to the battlefield. Zainab, on the other hand, is looking at this son, is looking at the son of Hassan ibn Ali. He says, this is the son of Hassan, he is going towards the battlefield. He climbs on the horse and he goes to the battlefield. Single combat. Janabe Qasim is fighting a single combat with the kuffar. He is fighting such a fight he fought, just like the Bani Hashim are used to fight. But suddenly he is surrounded by the people. He is surrounded by the enemies. They attack him from all angles. When he is wounded very much, he is very wounded, he calls on his uncle, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, I am wounded. When Hussein heard this, he went like a lion to the battlefield. And when this happened, brothers and sisters, when this happened, the people started fearing that maybe Hussein is coming to attack them, maybe Abbas is coming to attack them, and they started running here and there. In the process of this happening, in the process, Janabe Qasim's body was trampled by the hooves of the horses. When Imam Hussein went and found the body of Qasim, when everything was quiet, he found the body of Qasim. He didn't find it in one piece. It was torn in pieces. He said, Qasim, what have they done to you, my son? What have they done to you? What am I going to tell my brother on the day of judgment? What have they done to you, O Qasim? He puts his abba down on the floor. He puts his abba down and he picks up the body, the pieces of Janab-e Qasim, and he puts them on his abba. He takes the abba back. Abbas comes, helps his uncle, his brother. They go back to the khaymah. They go back to the camp. He calls on Fizza. He says, Fizza, can you go and hold the mother of this man? Go and hold the mother and say, oh, and say, do not see this body, because the way you sent Qasim was in a piece, now he's coming in pieces. When the body came to the morgue and to the tent of Hussein ibn Ali, the ladies came and saw the state. When Umme Farwa came, Fizza held her from the shoulders and said, Umme Farwa, he has already been taken by his father. Do not grieve, Umme Farwa. Do not sorrow. But I ask, which mother's heart is it that would see the child who is torn in pieces? And she looks at the body and she cries and she weeps until she faints. Haan, azad aa rahe hain Imam Hussain. Shab, saatvi shab hai. Aaj se pani, khayme mein pani bhi band ho gaya hai. نہ پانی ہے اب خیمے میں نہ کچھ ہے. جناب قاسم عاشور کے دن جناب قاسم نے جب دیکھا کہ اون و محمد جا چکے ہیں, اون و محمد شہید ہو چکے ہیں, تو اپنی ماں کے پاس جا کے کہنے لگے, ماں, مادر گرامی, اگر ممکن ہو تو میرے لیے بھی اجازت طلب کر دیجئے حسین سے. چچا سے میرے لیے بھی اجازت طلب کر دیجئے. بس یہ سننا تھا کہ ام فروہ کو یاد آیا کہ حسن ابن علی نے اپنے زوجہ نے دو خط دیے تھے. ایک خط قاسم کے لیے تھا, ایک خط حسین کے لیے تھا. یہ خط اٹھا کے جناب قاسم کے ہاتھ میں دے دیے اور کہا, بیٹا, تمہارے بابا نے کہا تھا جب تم پہ مشکل آ پڑے تو یہ خط تمہارا, ایک تم پڑھ لینا اور ایک تمہارے چچا کو دے دینا. جب جناب قاسم نے خط کو کھول کے دیکھا, آنکھوں سے لگا کے چوما اور جب پڑھا تو اس میں لکھا تھا, بیٹا, انا للہ و انا الیہ راجعون. بیٹا قاسم, جب مشکل آ پڑے تو میری طرف سے تمہاری جان قربان کر دینا حسین پہ. بس یہ خط پڑھ کے جناب قاسم پہ جان آئی. چچا کے پاس جا کے کہنے لگے, چچا جان, یہ خط آپ کا ہے, میرے بابا نے آپ کے لیے لکھا ہے. جب حسین نے خط کو دیکھا کہ اس میں حسن کی لکھائی ہے, خط کو دیکھ کر آنکھوں سے لگا کے بوسے دیے اور کہا, ہاں, اس میں لکھا ہے, اے بھیا حسین, جب میں نہ ہوں گا تمہارے پہ مشکل آئے گی, جب مشکل آئے گی تو میری طرف سے قاسم کو قربان کر دینا, میری طرف سے قاسم کو قربان کر دینا. بس یہ سننا تھا کہ امام حسین نے قاسم کی طرف دیکھ کے کہا, بیٹا قاسم, کیسے بھیجوں تمہیں, جب بھی مجھے حسن کی یاد آتی تھی تو میں تمہارا چہرہ دیکھتا تھا, اب کس کو دیکھوں گا میں قاسم. بس یہ سننا تھا کہ قاسم کو اجازت ملی. قاسم گھوڑے پہ سوار ہوئے. قاسم گھوڑے پہ سوار ہو کے مقتل کی طرف گئے. وہاں پہ جا کے بنی ہاشم کی بیٹے کی طرح لڑائی کی. مگر جس طرح یہ ظالموں کا طریقہ تھا, قاسم کو گھیر لیا اور ہر طرف سے کبھی تیر تازیانوں سے حملہ کرتے تھے. اتنے میں قاسم گھوڑے پہ نہ رہ سکے, گھوڑے پہ نہ سنبھل سکے, گر گئے زمین پہ. آ کے آواز دی, چچا جان, السلام علیکہ یا ابا عبداللہ, آئیے میری مدد کو آئیے. حسین کا یہ سننا تھا, دل میں دل نہ رہا, مقتل کی طرف بھاگے, دوڑ کے گئے. جب اعداء نے یہ دیکھا کہ حسین اور عباس گھوڑے پہ سوار ہو کے آ رہے ہیں, تو اتنی ان کے دل میں خوف پیدا ہوا. جب ان کے دل میں خوف پیدا ہوا تو ادھر کے گھوڑے ادھر اور ادھر کے گھوڑے ادھر, اتنے میں جب دیکھا کہ سب خاموش ہو گیا ہے تو جناب قاسم کا لاشا نظر نہیں آتا تھا. جب حسین نے نیچے دیکھا, زمین میں دیکھا تو کہا, بیٹا قاسم کیا کر لیا ہے ان لوگوں نے تمہیں؟ کیونکہ ٹکڑے ٹکڑے ہو گئے تھے, جناب قاسم کی لاش کے ٹکڑے ٹکڑے ہو گئے تھے. بس اتنے میں جناب حسین نے اپنی ابا کو بچھایا, قاسم کے ٹکڑوں کو جمع کر کے ابا میں رکھا, ابا کو لے کے عباس کے سہارے خیمے میں پہنچے, فضا کو بلایا. فضا کو بلا کے کہا, دیکھو فضا, جناب ام فروا کو سنبھالو, جناب ام فروا کو سنبھالو. کسی بھی ماں کا یہ منظر نہیں دیکھا جائے گا, کسی بھی ماں سے یہ منظر نہیں دیکھا جائے گا. جب جناب قاسم کا لاشا ام فروا نے دیکھا, جب زینب نے جناب قاسم کا لاشا دیکھا, اتنا گریا کیا, ام فروا بے ہوش ہو گئی اور کہا, بس اسی طرح سے بابا حسن تمہیں جنت میں لے لیں گے. ماتم حسین,
یا حسین,